Page 136, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The introit. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon on you. Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. In the day of my trouble I will call upon you, for you will answer me. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of hell. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Glory be to God on high,
and on earth His goodwill toward man. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory.
Of the world, have mercy.
Holy Spirit, our Most High, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray that your grace may always go before and follow after us, that we may continually be given to all good works, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the 16th Sunday after Trinity is from the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into his house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." This is the word of the Lord. The nation shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. The epistle reading is from the third chapter of Ephesians. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now it happened, the day after, that Jesus went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. This is the gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed, page 141. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. A sermon text is from Luke 7, verse 16. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Last week, we were assured that there is no need to worry. Our gracious Heavenly Father takes care of the birds and the flowers, and you are much more valuable than they. Our Lord will surely take care of you. We learned, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. But in this week's reading, all of the Christians, those who are seeking first the kingdom of God, have troubles, persecutions, and inner battles waging against them. Therefore, we are directed today to seek God's comfort and consolation in His compassion for us and in His ultimate purpose, which is to bring us the victory of life over death. So today, St. Paul begins today's epistle by telling the Ephesian believers that they are not to be concerned about his imprisonment in Rome and his tribulations. You know, sometimes it is the troubles, the distress of others that throw us into confusion, not even our own. When it is the distress in particular of our spiritual leaders, it becomes even more of a concern. St. Paul, you might remember, had taught them about faith. He had led them to Christ. And so now that this is going on, I'm sure that the false preachers spared no time in taking advantage of this situation in order to try to speak poorly of Paul. Ah, the Jews don't like him, and now look, the Romans, under Emperor Nero, they're seeking to kill him. Is that your leader? St. Paul tells them, "Therefore I ask you, do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." In today's Holy Gospel, a woman is being accompanied by a large crowd. It is a funeral procession. She has definitely experienced great distress. First of all, her husband has died and she has left a widow. This woman loses her companion in this world. The support of marriage has left her vulnerable now. Without it, vulnerable in society, in love, in finances. Our enemy, death, by its forced separation, has caused great loss and trouble. Second, her son has died. All of the worldly concerns return again as a source of anxiety and loss. Oh yes, you may buckle up under last week's sermon, but I say, how long? As St. Paul says, how long before you grow weary under your afflictions? How long before your inner conscience begins to question? I may have lost my husband, but at least I have my son. And then even that is taken away. What will it take for you to lose heart under your afflictions? Will you lose your job? Your loved ones, your home. First it is your health which suffers. Then you lose your independence, a loss of mobility, your strength and stamina further. Then you must leave your home, be cared for by others. You're not able to be with your friends at church. What will it take? Today I'm more concerned, though, about the inner battle of the conscience. Now, my intent is not to minimize the loss of companionship and, well, worldly security. Those are real problems, and I tell you that the Lord will provide for you. But it is the inner battle of the conscience that can determine whether we are able to get through the external troubles and persecution. When the woman, this woman, loses both her husband and her son, the conscience surely begins to question, is God providing for me or not? The conscience cries out that she must have done something wrong to experience this load of grief. We see it in today's Old Testament reading as well, with Elijah and the woman, in which she says, why did you even come here? To kill my son? To bring my sin to light? It is our sinful nature that usually comes to the conclusion that God does not care or that he is fighting against us. It is that inner struggle. What about it? Well, like Job, your friends don't understand the personal trouble which is going on within. And although Job has experienced one loss after another, and well beyond anything which we will undergo, I tell you that the entire book of Job is not about his family, or his goods, or his health. Job wishes to know answers which will quiet the conscience and bring peace. The book of Job is about that inner struggle. Simeon, in the New Testament, he comes to terms with his own mortality and says, now I may depart in peace. The inner conscience is quieted. The imprisoned Paul tells us in Philippians 4, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. St. Paul's imprisonment leads him not to lose heart. And though even then he seeks to be the one who comforts the Ephesians so they don't lose heart. So today, why, or rather how can St. Paul do this? In the midst of trouble and persecution, he experiences, because of his profession of Jesus Christ, how can he do this? How can we face our outward troubles and fight the inner turmoil which occurs in our conscience? The answer is taught in today's epistle, and it's shown to us in today's Holy Gospel. St. Paul says that God showers out his riches upon us so that we are strengthened to face even greater troubles. Now note, this is not an outward strength which comes from God giving us wealth or outward security or strong friends, but instead, it is that which does not depend on our circumstances. Not at all. St. Paul says, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Our strength comes from faith. Faith in the heart, in the inner man. When the mammon of this world falters, we have a fear and love of God in our heart. We have faith, which is trust in a good Heavenly Father that teaches us that our sins have been forgiven. The inner battle, it is always about God's law and the accusation that we are unworthy of God's love and thus we are getting what we deserve. And the solution is always found in the forgiveness of sins, which assures us that the law's claim has been fulfilled in Christ. The gospel message is that Jesus has taken what we deserved, and that now we receive the love of Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. The inner battle, then, is overcome when you know about the love of Jesus towards us. St. Paul goes on to say it this way, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So it is through the preaching of the Word that we have learned of the great love of God towards us. His love goes beyond any other love. The more we learn of the love of Jesus, the more we see His great love, we see the width and the height and the depth and the length. We see God's love for us in Christ. When we understand Christ's love, then the fullness of God lives in us. When our conscience is confident of Christ, then none of the devil's arrows can lead us to lose heart. With forgiveness, we can even be imprisoned with St. Paul. I tell you, the circumstances don't matter when the inner conscience is satisfied with Christ's love. Today's Holy Gospel, it also shows us this love, the width and the length and the depth and the height of Christ's love in the account of the widow who is burying her son. The death parade is leaving the city and going to the graveyard. The life parade of Jesus and His church is coming into the city. First and foremost, we need to know that Jesus has come to bring life over death. The entire purpose of His coming to earth was to take on human flesh. Through His own suffering and death in the human flesh, He defeated sin and death. The threatening attacks of the devil, designed always to keep us in fear, were disarmed by the forgiveness of sins and His resurrection from the dead. Just as God's Son took on human flesh and volunteered to come and save us, so we see the heart of Jesus, His compassion. Even before she even knows, He comes and He works and He speaks. Jesus sees this woman's situation and He fully understands her grief and sorrow. Even while she was still in the midst of grief, even before she could speak and act, Jesus poured out His riches upon her. Jesus stops the death parade and gives her back her son. Not only can God provide us with food and drink and clothing for our life, as we saw last week, but Jesus also provides life, life over death. What Jesus does for her in giving back her son, this account is recorded for our benefit. We are to learn that Jesus is not punishing us for our sins, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the trial and the tribulation you're going through. Jesus' heart of compassion goes out to us. By His action, He is assuring us that He can and has defeated death. Jesus has a plan which includes a resurrection from the dead on the last day. And the fulfillment of this plan is never in doubt. Jesus raised this boy from the dead. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus raised a little girl from the dead. Death is a meager opponent who must give way to our Lord. The death parade will be ruined when Jesus' life parade comes to town. The text says at the end this: "Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, 'A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited His people.'" Well, when we see that Jesus is the visitation of God, well, there is fear. Yes, we have sinned. That is true. But when we see His compassion, why He came, He came, He moves to help us. His purpose is to bring life over death, to come and say to us, "Do not fear, do not weep." No, we have the love of God for us. When we see that, then we glorify Him. For the God who comes to visit us is the God who comes to bring forgiveness of sins, that we might not die, but live. With the scriptural knowledge of the depth, of the width and the length and the depth and the height of Christ's love for us, we do not lose heart. Our inner conscience is at peace. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Death no impediment to him. St. Paul teaches us that God is able to do, and listen, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Well, how's that for above, exceedingly, abundantly, all that we thought possible? Yes, he does it. Now we have the report of Jesus. We know that Jesus raises the dead. We know that he has given us a promise to raise up from the dead on the last day. We know of his compassion for us. We know of his forgiveness for us. We know of the riches that he pours out on us. We know of his power over death and over the grave. We know that Christ dwells in our hearts through faith. And so when St. Paul tells us, do not lose heart, we do not. Because no matter what the circumstances, we have patience. Patience in tribulation and confidence in the inner man. Being rooted and grounded in that love, we do not lose heart on our way to eternal life with Christ in heaven. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The offertory is on page 143. We stand.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you loved the world so much that you gave us your only begotten Son. We thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ had such compassion for us that he came to visit us, who were dead in our transgressions and sins, that having mercy upon us, he might bring us back to life. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, send your Holy Spirit upon your church that pastors and people alike would fear and praise you for your wonderful love in Jesus Christ. We ask that all pastors in Christ, our Bishop James, our pastors Michael and Gary, that they would sound a consistent and clear message by declaring that Jesus alone is God come to visit his people. We bring before you Christ Evangelical Lutheran Church in Richmond, Missouri, and their pastor, Josiah Scheck. We ask that our director, Keeley, would be upheld and strengthened in her work on behalf of our Early Childhood Learning Center. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, endow our President Donald, our Governor J.B., our Mayor Steve, federal and state legislators, and all our leaders with grace to rule for the maintenance of goodness and the hindrance of evil. Protect those who serve in the armed forces, especially Timothy, Danny, Jason, and Blake. Also our police officers, Daniel and Alex, that they may diligently carry out their duties and be protected from all harm and danger. Almighty and everlasting God, you are the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak. May the prayers of those who are in any distress, including those affected by the fires in the Northwest, that they would come before you so that in all their necessities, they may mark and receive your manifold help and comfort. Graciously defend your children from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, from every other evil. Protect and defend the firefighters and those whose homes are in the path of the fires. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Bless Rachel, our shut-in, and Carolyn, also Violet and Verdell. Provide for the needs of Priscilla, Caitlin, Jade, Kevin, Gibb, Linda, Rick, Michael and Patty, Rebecca, Victor and Marcia, Tony, Gary, also Barbara, Donna, and Debbie. We ask you to go with our students as well, with Kara and Andrew, Eric, Jonathan, Kirsten, Alexis, Sarah, Benjamin, and Jacob. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the suffering and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us.
O Christ, the Lamb of God.
O Lord Jesus Christ, who said unto your apostles, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Regard not my sins, but the faith of your church. Grant unto her that peace which is according to your law, and your wonderful kind, forever. Amen. I'll receive the bread of heaven, call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I'm not worthy you should come under my roof, but only speak the word of my soul shall be healed. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given for me, preserve my body and soul unto life everlasting.
Praise the Lord.
page 152.
Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good,
and his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.